The Play Action Podcast is fueled by Picasso's Pizza, where every night is pizza night.
Welcome to a special edition, a playoff edition, a Q&A edition of the Play Action Podcast. Lance Lysowski, as always, is here, along with Catherine Fitzgerald, who is always here. I will be your fill-in host for the moment as we go through a Q&A portion of the Play Action Podcast. I'm Perrin Keyes, executive sports editor of the Buffalo News. And we're here, of course, to discuss Buffalo Bills at Denver Broncos, 4:30 p.m. Saturday in the divisional round of the AFC playoffs. Berth in the AFC championship game on the line. And as we all feel, the Bills have a shot. It does not mean that they have a guaranteed shot. Far from it. So we asked Lance and Catherine to do a call out for questions because we all know that Western New York and Bills Mafia always has questions. If it's a day that ends in Y, or if it's an hour that has 60 minutes in it, or for that matter, any other version of minutes in it, they're going to have questions about the Bills. And that could be no more relevant than, of course, as we are here in postseason time. So we'll get right to it. I'll throw out the first question. This is from Jenna Tonelli, and she asks, Lance and Catherine, how does the Bills' offense match up against the Broncos?
I can start this one. It's going to be a difficult matchup. The Broncos' defense is very tough. They get after the quarterback. Their secondary is very good. They shut down opposing wide receivers. So as much as we sit here and look at the Bills' depth chart wide receiver, and you know, some people are cringing right now because they only have three healthy guys as we sit here today, I don't think that you can really beat this team by peppering your wide receiver group. Broncos are good against screens. They're good against the slot a lot of the times. Patrick Surtain's one of the best corners in the league. This has got to be a big tight end game. It's got to be a big James Cook game. You got to like the way that the Bills' offensive line matches up here. They've got the size advantage. They got the strength advantage. But it's going to be strength on strength. The Bills couldn't run the ball in Jacksonville. Can they do it in Denver? I think that has to be the starting point. Take pressure off of Josh Allen. And by establishing the run in a way they weren't able to against the Jaguars, they can make life a lot easier on those receivers in terms of making this offense less predictable.
Catherine, the Bills obviously did not have a ton of success with James Cook or Josh Allen, who, of course, is still dealing with a foot injury. We don't know how severe, but we know it's a foot injury, and that's going to affect you no matter how you slice it. The Jaguars had the number one rush defense in the NFL. The Broncos have the number two rush defense in the NFL. You can't get away from this. You have to be able to still run the football at some point. You can't just get pass happy. That's going to lead to a lot of problems. What do they do? How do they do it if they are to just even sort of stay honest and keep themselves honest with sticking to the ground, even a little bit?
Yeah, I think when you emphasize the stay honest part of it, that's a big factor here of just, you know, they have to be two-dimensional against the Broncos. That's something coaches have emphasized, players have emphasized, and they have to be able to have that threat of, we're going to run it if we can. You saw that against the Jaguars, they still tried to run it even when it wasn't necessarily the big chunk plays that James Cook can sometimes do. So I think establishing the run will be critical here and just sticking to it, even if it's not going well. Joe Brady has said in the past, there's been times he's gotten away from the run too early. So I think he just needs to really stick with it here.
Well, if they do run into trouble on the ground, which they're undoubtedly going to at some point, the question is, how much trouble do they run into? And then, of course, when they do, they're going to have to put it in Josh Allen's hands, which is never a bad idea. Joe Brady, I thought, frankly, Lance and Catherine, I thought for all the criticism he's gotten this year, and much of it deserved for sort of odd play calling at all times, and maybe, just as you said, Catherine, getting away from the run, you know, when that in this year certainly has been sort of your bread and butter. I thought he had a great game, particularly in the second half last week against Jacksonville. And I think particularly about the second to last touchdown drive they had. I was thinking before that drive, as were many, many members of the Mafia, I'm sure, thinking, hey, wait a minute, where are the tight ends and where's James Cook? Now, I understand James Cook didn't run a lot on that drive, but, you know, I'll be damned. Put it in number 17's hands, boom, 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 twice to Dawson Knox. And then, of course, the great fake screen to Dalton Kincaid for the touchdown. All that having been said, you touched on it, Lance, and that leads us to our next question. The receivers are going to have to do their part, and these receivers who are left are going to probably have to do more than their part than they've been doing lately, and that leads us to our next question from Joe San, who says, how will the injuries to the wide receivers impact this game plan? Lance?
It will impact it. You're going to see more three tight end sets. You're going to see more 22 personnel. You're going to see more 21 personnel. They're going to put bigger bodies on the field. And part of that is to help protect Josh Allen. The Broncos blitz at one of the highest rates in the NFL. They created more pressures while blitzing than any other team during the regular season. The way they like to attack resembles what the Atlanta Falcons did against the Bills back in week 6. We know how the Bills handled that. You know, philosophically, Joe Brady doesn't like to have that tight end chip block before running a route, or, you know, a running back chip block before running a route. He likes to give his quarterback as many passing receiving options as he possibly can to, you know, easy levers, get rid of the ball quickly. How is that going to impact the weapons that they use? You know, as much as, you know, in our first question, the whole point about how often they use James Cook, well, it goes back to that Atlanta game. They didn't feel comfortable using James Cook in the second half of that game because Atlanta just kept sending blitzes, blitz, 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 and James Cook's not as good as a pass protector as Ty Johnson. Now, Ty Johnson, as we sit here answering these questions on Wednesday morning, he hasn't practiced yet, still dealing with that ankle injury. So if he's not playing, how are they able, what sort of wrinkles are they going to present to Denver to make sure that Josh Allen has some time to make some plays? Quick throws, you can expect that. Are they going to move Khalil Shakir around a little bit? You know, Broncos are a good tackling team. So this is going to have, they're going to have to win this game in a different way. They've shown throughout the season they've been able to do that. Joe Brady with some creative game plans to work around what the defense is good at. And, you know, Brandon Cooks, Khalil Shakir, Keon Coleman, those three have to be, they have to be the focal point once you have to throw it to the receivers. Because, you know, Denver, if I'm Sean Payton and I'm Vance Joseph, their defensive coordinator, I'm taking away the middle of the field and I'm forcing you to throw the ball to the perimeter to those receivers. And trust, you know, if you're the Broncos, trust your corners to try to shut down, because that group, you know, the Bills really like those three receivers, but there's no true, there's not one guy in that group who's going to really scare you if you scheme properly, and you probably put some help over the top to prevent Brandon Cooks from making some of those big downfield catches.
Catherine, of course, Lance, you've written about Keon Coleman and his need to step up this week at BuffaloNews.com. But Catherine, if you would not only expand on that, but just sort of reset for everybody who may just sort of kind of be, you know, sort of tuning in and out about what's happened in the past, well, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 days with the receiver group, what's happened to Tyrell Shavers and who's left?
Yeah, who is left? It's a great question. The Bills lost two players to ACL injuries in Sunday's game against the Jaguars, Joshua Palmer went to IR as well, so they're down to Khalil Shakir, Brandon Cooks, and Keon Coleman. Of course, Cooks joined the team in November. So he's still kind of, not still acclimating, but he hasn't been around super long. Keon Coleman has dealt with some disciplinary issues this season. He's bounced back from those, but still hasn't had the production that maybe this team has wanted him to have. Talked to him earlier this week, and he was saying how he doesn't feel he has anything to prove to anyone other than himself. So that's kind of his mindset going into the game. But yeah, and Khalil Shakir, as we know, 12 targets, 12 receptions against Jacksonville. He's been consistent for Josh Allen, but it is a very thin group. All eyes are on Curtis Samuel, though, who did return to practice this week and was a full participant coming back from an elbow injury. So we'll see what happens there. It was too early to tell when Sean McDermott talked about Samuel earlier this week.
This will lead to actually the next question, which is, and you sort of answered it just a little bit, Catherine, but we can expand on it a little bit more. This is from at LazyTown716, who asks, who will play receiver with Gabe Davis out? Curtis Samuel, Mecole Hardman, somebody else we haven't thought of, Lance? There's not really a whole lot left on the free agent wire, but
well, exactly.
I guess you Go ahead.
They're gonna, if Curtis Samuel's not ready for this game, I don't know how much the Bills would trust McCole Hardman. Very specialized role. They don't need him in the return game. You know, to me, like I do really wonder if they call on somebody like Steven Gosnell, who, you know, an undrafted free agent who had a great training camp, great preseason, somebody who can fill in with some reps. But another layer to this whole receiver conversation is they need guys who can block on the perimeter to run the ball.
Yes.
And I mean, Tyrell Shavers was a very good blocker. Gabe Davis, very good blocker. So Keon Coleman, that is the one area that, you know, we could sit here and talk about
his impact. Keon. Yeah.
Yeah. But it has to, there needs to be consistency within it. He is more than capable of not only contributing downfield as a receiver and as a blocker, but where is the consistency going to be there as like it has been for Tyrell Shavers? I mean, I don't know if you went back and watched the film throughout the season, I don't think you could find a bad blocking rep from Tyrell Shavers. That is how consistent he was. And yeah, just the intensity that he brought in on those plays. So, and that is going to lead into their decision when it comes to who they're going to bring up as that fourth option. You know, they could have four tight ends activated for this game and have Kaliki Latu as somebody they can use as a chess piece. And, you know, Dalton Kincaid lines up in the slot so that he can ostensibly be an extension of your receiving group. So it is an interesting thought going into this one. I think they're going to have to think outside the box in terms of how they deploy their personnel, who they have on the game day roster. And, you know, even if Curtis Samuel's active, I am a little skeptical how much we see him just based on what it's going to take to win this game.
This has sort of been a through line for the Buffalo Bills from start to finish this year, that the number of injuries they've had to deal with. And it's been a through line, certainly on the offense, and it's a through line as we continue here on to the defense, which leads, of course, to the next question. This is from Mark Metz, and I'll throw it to you, Catherine, first, because I know you're working on a piece that's going to sort of answer this question, probably, in all likelihood. Question is, do the Bills have an answer with Jordan Poyer out, and do they need more help from their pass rush?
Yeah, right now it's trending that Jordan Hancock will be filling in for Jordan Poyer. I think it's been really interesting working on a story about him, just hearing how hard Bobby Babbage is on him. We mentioned this in yesterday's pod, but Bobby Babbage, Sean McDermott, they're hard on their rookies. And that's to try to get the best out of them very quickly. So I think just kind of seeing what he's able to do, you know, if the Broncos are to pick on him a little bit, how he responds will be critical. Damar Hamlin is coming along from injured reserve. He was a full participant earlier this week in practice, but obviously has missed a lot of time. So, you know, still remains to be seen there. But like you mentioned, they're definitely going to need rushing coverage to work together. That's something this team emphasizes all the time. But I think it'll be so critical this week when, you know, they are banged up across the field.
Well, again, This again leads into our next question, and it's more globally about the defense. And it's from Tom Johnson, who asks, how does the Bills defense match up against the Broncos? The Broncos, of course, led by quarterback Bo Nix in his second year. But perhaps most importantly, just from a global standpoint, Lance and Catherine, led and orchestrated by one of the great play callers in the NFL, Sean Payton. He's taken... this is his 11th team that he's taken to the playoffs. I think this will be his 20th or 21st playoff game that he will have coached. As you all both know, speaking from firsthand experience, I saw many times where Sean Payton, when he had Drew Brees, he would come into a post-game press conference and basically confess that, you know what, we got away from the run a little bit too much. And we got a little pass happy there and we shouldn't have. And that's my mistake. I don't think I ever remember him having apologized for not throwing enough. And when you had Drew Brees, that was that was understandable. But he did get away from it at times. All that having been said, I'm quite certain he saw what the Jaguars did against the Bills' run defense, which of course has been their sort of Achilles heel all season on that side of the ball. And they did, you know, slice it however you want to slice it. At least I don't want to put words in your mouth and either of your mouths, but I would suspect that you guys would agree that the Jaguars got away from the run a little bit, maybe too much, when they were having certainly a ton of success with the run in the second quarter. And I doubt very seriously that Sean Payton is going to overlook that. He will keep that in mind as they go for their plan of attack. All that having been said, this stat surprised me. No one attempted more passes in the NFL this year than Bo Nix, which really did surprise me. So anyhow, you know, Lance, that's a lot to chew through that I just gave you, but go ahead and take that wherever you want to take it.
No, and I think a big piece of their passing game is using their rookie running back, R.J. Harvey. The Bills are very good at shutting down running backs in the receiving game. So that is probably going to be an option that Bo Nix will stay away from. Now, he likes to throw the ball downfield, and they're going to test Jordan Hancock. They're going to go after him. They're going to try to go after those linebackers in a way that the Jaguars probably should have last week but kind of failed to do so. They're going to run to the edges of this defense. Like you mentioned that Jaguars second quarter, Perrin, and the Jacksonville had very little success running between the tackles, but when they ran to the edges, pre-snap motion to kind of test the Bills' eye discipline, they had some explosive plays. I don't know why they got away from it. Bashaul Tootin, their rookie running back, was just 43 yards on three consecutive carries. They just stopped using it. And it was one of the more bizarre aspects of that game. So this is a very difficult matchup for the Bills' defense. It's a good offensive line. Bo Nix is an athletic guy who can get out of the pocket, can extend the play. The key to making him look like a young quarterback is to pressure him. And Bills don't like to blitz. Among all the wild card teams, they blitz less than anybody else last week. They want their front four to get home and force Bo Nix to make some bad decisions. Now, there's a lot that goes into it. They disguise their coverages. They change the picture as soon as the ball is snapped. That gave Trevor Lawrence so many fits in that game last Sunday. So you're going to see some of that, but they need Joey Bosa, Greg Rousseau, and everybody else up front to get home in this game, because Bo Nix, 6 interceptions when he's been pressured this season. He just has been pressured less than basically any other starting quarterback in the league, because he's got a good offensive line. He's got a play caller who knows how to scheme up to make life easier on a young quarterback. And a lot of this, I mean, we talk about playing on the road. That's another aspect of this where that is going to be – it's not going to be filled with Bills Mafia. That's going to be a loud crowd that's going to make life difficult on this defense and this offense. And yeah,
at high
we'll
altitude
see. I mean,
too.
It's, yeah, high altitude. You're going to have to force a turnover. The Bills recipe is going to be the same. I mean, you're going to have to try to get some turnovers, because they know that, I mean, the Broncos with that receiving core, they're going to get some explosive plays too.
Catherine, we've discussed this. Jay Skirsky and I discussed this on the Further Review podcast on Monday. The Bills have 8 defenders on IR. Now, some of those, you know, I'm not going to go all the way up and down the list, but you see some of those, like Landon Jackson, okay, he was only going to be a bit player this year, didn't contribute much. And Dorian Strong, who we haven't seen in a long time, I understand that. But they've got a lot of guys who are still beat up. Can you just sort of give us a reset as we talk here on Wednesday morning? Where some players like Terrell Bernard and some of the others stand in terms of whether they are going to be able to make it in and out of the lineup?
Yeah, I think there's still a lot to see this week, but Terrell Bernard, with his elbow injury, did not practice earlier this week. Maxwell Harrison has yet to practice this week with his ankle injury. We saw a few other guys pop up on the injury report. Matt Milano, AJ Epinesa, Greg Rousseau were all limited in the first injury report of the week. It was a walkthrough, so projected, but yeah, these guys are banged up. There's, like you mentioned, 8 guys on IR as well that they, you know, I think the main thing to watch is Ed Oliver. He has had his 21-day window opened, was practicing this week in a limited capacity. Again, was a walkthrough, so hard to tell. Too early to say what will happen there, but I think that's kind of, you know, something to watch for sure.
We're not doctors, but we're going to play one on the podcast here. I'll throw it to both of you, Lance and Catherine. If you were going to put a percentage on Jordan Poyer playing and on Ed Oliver playing, what percentage would you guys give it as we sit here and talk on Wednesday morning?
Poyer 0%, Oliver 10%. I mean, if Oliver didn't have the knee clean up a couple weeks ago, I think that we would be looking at a much higher percentage. But it does really seem like a long shot that this is a – you know, usually when a guy has a 21-day practice window open, they don't come back that first week. It's usually that second week. So I'm sure their goal is win this game. You get Ed Oliver for the AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl if you, you know, if everything goes well. That's just my early read in the situation. Like Catherine pointed out, walk through early in the week, but just given the two injuries for Oliver, I think that we're looking at pretty long odds for him to be ready for Saturday.
Catherine? I'll jump up to 20% for Ed Oliver. 0% for Jordan Poyer as well. Sean McDermott indicated he won't be able to go. But with Oliver, you know, he's been so present lately, which doesn't mean that doesn't translate to being ready to go. But I think just, you know, he's attacked this rehab in a way that I think is very impressive. And so I'll go a full 20%.
We've got one more question. That I believe you got from Blue Sky, Catherine, from Gowanda Gary, who asks, and this is going back to a topic that we sort of touched on earlier in this show, but we'll ask it and have you guys weigh in with your two cents. The Bills had a hard time getting the ground game going against the Jaguars. The Broncos are just as stingy against the run. Will Joe Brady try to establish James Cook early again, or will he try to pivot? Now, I don't know what exactly the pivot would be. You know, this is, I think we all agree that you're going to have to try. And that then begs the question, how successful are they? And, you know, you've got great tight ends, great blocking tight ends. Jackson Hawes is certainly not afraid to mix it up. The other two guys can hold their own. Is there anything that they can do creatively, I suppose, Lance, just sort of put a little bit finer point on that question?
Do we see more jumbo package in this game with Alec Anderson on the field? Do we see them get some of those wide receiver sweeps, jet sweeps going, more pre-snap motion to try to give Denver some more issues to think about? Now, the Broncos are an interesting team to evaluate in terms of what they've done against the run, because they haven't faced a whole lot of good running teams since October. You know, the last one they did face, the Commanders gashed them pretty good. Now, Denver is getting healthier, so there is that caveat. And the Bills have Josh Allen, which helps you run the ball a little bit more. But I think that, especially with the whole question around Ty Johnson, I think we're still going to see a lot of James Cook. We're going to see a lot of Ray Davis. It's just how creative, or what, in what ways did Joe Brady get creative with the personnel groupings and the way that they, what I thought was interesting in that Jacksonville game, guys, was that you didn't see a whole lot of James Cook on those outside runs. You didn't see a whole lot of the toss plays that they've had success
which
running.
Is where he's, yeah, they've been great at that all year.
And I think part of that was Jacksonville's very good at tackling the perimeter. Now, do you force Denver to show you that they can do it? And I know part of that, you want to avoid negative plays and those tosses. If you lose 2 yards on those, and all of a sudden you're looking at second and 12, you know, third and 12, and you don't want Josh Allen in those situations, especially given the way the season has gone with some of those sack numbers on third down. But yeah, it is going to be a focal point given the opponent, the personnel that's available, and it's just the way they have to win this game. It just has to be. Plus, it sets up play action. There's just so much. It is the foundation of this offense. Yes, you have Josh Allen, but you have to be able to run the ball to really operate at maximum efficiency.
Okay, so final bonus question, and this is coming from me. good way to get you out of here. 4:30 p.m. Saturday in Denver. Bills go into this game as a 1.5-point underdog. Very simply, Lance and Catherine, do they get it done?
I'll let Catherine start.
Spicy question. I think they do. I think they find a way to win it. You know, I think it'll be a close game for sure. The way these teams match up and everything, I think it'll be tight, but I'll put it on the Bills.
Broncos by a field goal.
All right.
Broncos by
I think it's a tough situation. You got a team coming off a bye. You've got a very good head coach, very good coordinators on the other side. A team that's much healthier. The big question for me is Bo Nix. I don't have any faith in his ability. His ability in a game like
this. That's fair. Yeah, because I think you saw. I'm sorry to jump in, Lance, but I mean, seen. You know, this second season has been a bit of a roller coaster. He's been great when he's been great, and he's been bad when he's been bad. I thought he was shakier toward the start of the season, and Sean Payton took the handcuffs off him a little bit, but you just don't know when that untimely turnover is going to come. So I apologize. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, you're absolutely, that's exactly where my mind is at. You've got Josh Allen. I don't think the receiving injuries is going to be a big factor in this as much as it would be against some other teams, but yeah, when you look at Denver's defense, everything they've got, I think this is going to be a very close game, but I think I'm going to give the edge to the Broncos.
So remember, that was Lance Lysowski. You can bash him all day and all night on X or on Blue Sky or wherever else you choose to do your local social media bashing, because isn't that so much fun? We will be, no matter how, whether Lance is right or whether Catherine's right, one way or the other, we will be back here. We'll always be here at BuffaloNews.com to give you the best coverage of the Buffalo Bills. We will be back here in all likelihood, no matter how you slice it, no matter what happens on Saturday, for another round of play action. And, of course, Jay Skursky and I will be there on Sunday to mow through another episode of Further Review, where we dissect this playoff game, win or lose. With that, I appreciate you guys sort of allowing me to guest host here. Lance Lysowski, Catherine Fitzgerald, we appreciate it. I'm Perrin Keyes. We appreciate all you all who follow along and listen and watch and read, of course, our great coverage at BuffaloNews.com.
Treat your team to the most flavorful pizza on game day at Picasso's Pizza. 4 great Western New York locations, Williamsville, West Seneca, Lancaster, and Blaisdell. Picasso's. We are Buffalo's Pizza since 1980. Order online today at picassospizza.net.